Kevin Bacon has suggested that one of the riskiest things an actor can do is front a rock band, and you probably don't have to think too hard to recall how many stars have failed at establishing a musical career. Yet his experience collaborating with his older brother Michael Bacon, a successful film and TV composer, has been different. As in the Bacon Brothers band that they've been producing records and performing live for over 17 years now, and they will be playing at Town Hall Theater on May 2nd. The latest record, Philadelphia Road, Best of the Bacon Brothers, is now available from Hypertension Records. And although this is Food Friday on the Leonard Lopate Show, we thought we might stretch the rules a bit to welcome the Bacon Brothers, Michael and Kevin, to our show today. Hello.
Hello. We don't qualify as food?
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about food later. Yeah, food for thought, if anything. Michael, as a musician, do you agree with your brother's assessment? Is it risky for actors to play in rock and roll bands?
I've never been an actor, so I don't really know. I've heard him say that, and I think he's right, and I appreciate that he's willing to take that risk.
Well, in your case, you've been around for over 17 years, so it has worked. Didn't work for Bruce Willis and a few others, but there's Adrian Grenier of Entourage. He's done okay.
Yeah, no, there's quite a few people.
There were also the Blues Brothers, although sure. That was an odd situation.
Eddie Murphy had a hit record.
I just want to party all the time, party all the time.
And then,
party all the time.
Then what happened to his career as an actor and as a singer?
No, he's doing great. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Love Eddie.
Even though this band has been around since the mid-90s, I imagine that you started playing a lot sooner.
Yeah, I can't remember a time I wasn't playing music, and we were brought up in that kind of a household that encouraged creativity above all else. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to learn how to play an instrument or learn how to act or, you know, take art lessons, dance, that's what we did.
But do your parents, Kevin, didn't put pressure on you to get good grades?
No. They really didn't. No, they didn't. I'm not quite sure why. Getting good grades and becoming rich were not priorities of theirs, but they were very excited if you could draw a drawing, write a song, put on a performance, you know, dress in a costume, do a dance. That's the stuff that they put on a pedestal.
And why do you think that is? Your father helped redesign downtown Philadelphia, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He was a planner, a city planner, more than an architect. Although he was trained as an architect, and our mother was a teacher. But I think they just loved the arts. I mean, it was just a big part of their lives.
And Michael, you've said that you began the project more or less as a goof. Are you still that casual about the band?
No, not at all. We really did it for one show, and I, first of all, didn't think my brother would really like it. You know, I've been playing that live for years. And secondly, I didn't think he would really be that good at it. And I think that we were both a little bit surprised at the answer to both of those. Would he enjoyed it, and he was good at it.
But there's also the matter of achieving success that allows for a band to be a little more relaxed when there's more pressure on you. You can't hire people to help you out. You don't get the best gigs from the start. I suspect that you didn't have to worry about some of those things.
When we first started, we were, I was the manager and the road manager and the guy that got the food and the guy that collected the $500 that we got paid for playing clubs. And it wasn't as if, it's a long time ago and my memory is a little shaky, but it wasn't as if we just started it and it's what it is today by any means.
You, in the title track, Kevin, for the album New Year's Day, you sing that sometimes this California dream just feels like one long bummer. And you refer to the experience as an actor who moves to the West Coast in not always the best of terms. How autobiographical was that?
It's not very autobiographical since I've never lived on the West Coast, but I did like the idea of rhyming bummer and summer and mummer. You know, I mean, I think that sometimes you write completely from your own perspective, and sometimes you kind of create a character like you would as an actor, and you write from that point of view.
Although you also have, except for the endless summer, you had to save up money, worry about
those are all true.
The bad auditions.
And I am from Philadelphia. That's true. Bad auditions. I'm tired of waiting in line to be told that you're not right. You know, that's obviously a reference to being an actor. You're either a waiter or you're waiting for the phone to ring. So there's a lot of waiting that goes on.
You're past the point where you auditioned for a role, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
But how long did that take?
Let me just say that if something came along that I really thought was worth it, I would still audition. But I'd say I probably haven't been to an audition in, 25 years.
They can be humiliating.
They sure can.
Because you think, boy, I really aced that. And then they said, well, it's between you and two other guys. And then other ones gets
No, it's a big part of becoming an actor. When I talk to young actors, is that you have to get a very, very thick skin and you have to be used to rejection. And when people reject you, they're not rejecting your song or your painting or something. They really are rejecting you, you know, and that's tough to take sometimes.
Michael, in that song, Kevin sings that he was born the son of a mummer. Was your father, Edmund Bacon, a mummer as well as a
No, he wasn't. The mummers, in case your audience doesn't know, it's a parade on New Year's Day, and there are these probably about 30 clubs that are string bands, and they play this indigenous music to basically South Philadelphia. And it was a big part of our childhood, and our father, loving Philadelphia, always took us to the mummers. And it was always cold, but I still love it. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a great memory. And a couple of years ago, the Mummers Parade was about to be canceled. So,
didn't they wear fezes? Or is that a different parade in Philadelphia?
Some of them probably do. They do all kinds of things. They wear giant feathered costumes, mm-hmm. and they wear golden slippers. That's the only thing that they all do is wear these golden slippers. So we decided to put on a concert and try to help them, which was a really fun thing. And we kind of used Kevin's song as sort of we went back in the studio and we recorded with a string band and put out a version and a video of it. And the parade is still going really well. It's
and
thriving.
Do you share writing credits on these songs?
Some do. Some we sort of don't write together as much as we used to because Kevin's musical skills and recording skills, he has his own studio and plays plenty of instruments, so he doesn't really need me to write with him anymore. But we sometimes write together.
But you are a composer. You do pretty well yourself.
I am a composer of film music, and yeah, I'm a very lucky guy in that I'm able to do that and also play in this band.
So what are you going to play for us?
Well, we're going to play a song called 36 Cents. It's your tune, dude. Why don't you
Oh, yeah, 36 Cents. Yeah, I'm not sure what this – I think especially people that are married to songwriters, when I reach in my pockets, I'm always finding change and flat picks. That's pretty much it. So I wrote a song. If one can write a song about that, I did. It's called 36 Cents.
Okay. The Bacon Brothers Band. And later we'll find out who the other members of the band are. And they're about to play Michael Bacon's song, 36 Cents.
Okay.
Thank you. that fits. A crumpled up piece of paper with the lyrics to this song.
Bacon Brothers Band here on the Leonard Lopate Show on WNYC, WNYC.org. Kevin and Michael, Kevin on harmonica and conga, but you also play guitar?
A djembe.
A djembe?
A djembe, yeah.
That's a, more like an African
drum? It's an African drum, yeah, actually. Who's counting?
And everybody here seems to double on instruments. Your keyboard player plays piano and accordion. Michael, you have pulled out a cello.
Yep.
Can you introduce us to the members of the band?
Sure. Let's see. Behind me, playing drums, a very old friend of mine. Most of these guys I've worked with for probably 25, 30 years.
Have most of them been in the band for most of that time? The time it's been together?
Frank, our drummer, Frank Velarde. Our drummer has been in the band for probably 12 years. Mm-hmm.
And longer than that.
Really? Okay. 14 years, something like that. A long time. Paul Gazzone singing the tenor vocals. He was with us from our very first gig and has somehow put up with us all these years. And he's a fabulous musician, composer, bass player, guitar player, songwriter, singer. And we're very lucky to have him. Kev, you want to...
Ira Siegel, if you want to know how long he's been with us, you just take a cross section of him. You count the rings. such an obscure. I don't even know if people will get that. Anyway, he's an amazing guitar player. Plays electric with us usually. He's playing acoustic with us today, and the fabulous Joe Manona, who is a incredible keyboard player. Well, he plays pretty much anything and speaks every language.
And how would you describe the style of the band?
Well, the first record that we did, we called Foro Soko, because we couldn't really come up with an answer to that question, so we decided to call it Folk Rock Soul Country, which are all sort of influences that we've had, and we shortened it to Foro Soko.
Michael, what difference is your process when you're composing a theme for a TV show or a movie versus writing a song like that?
Well, they're very, very different experiences. If you're a composer, writing music for films and television shows, you have to have a source that is always available 24 hours a day, or else you can't do it. And I have that, and I give my parents a lot of credit for instilling that in me at a very young age. However, being a songwriter is a completely different thing, and my brother and I talk about this all the time. If you can figure out what it is that is the mood that you come to when you actually write a song and are satisfied with it, it would be great, but I found what that is to be very elusive, and I find songwriting really difficult to do.
And that's why Kevin is doing most of the songwriting these days.
Those tides have sort of changed quite a bit. Michael's been doing more writing than me. My songwriting tap seems to be turned off for a little while, which is why I was lucky enough to get some help on the next song we're going to do from the guys in the band.
Well, do you think of the playing music as a kind of a release from the acting career?
Well, I think that playing music is just a great kind of feeling. Whether or not it's an actual release, yeah, sometimes it is. I mean, in my current gig, I'm like going to very, very dark places every day, and the work is difficult because it's not a happy place to be.
You're not playing a pleasant person.
It's not that. Well, I'm playing an unhappy person, a person that's struggling and has a lot of darkness in his soul, and so I have to sort of be there with that for every day, and then to play music. It just feels a little lighter, better, you know.
Well, this isn't the only place that you've collaborated, is it? Didn't the two of you work on Loverboy? Michael, you wrote the score.
Kevin directed. Kevin directed and hired me, thank goodness, to do the score, and also Losing Chase.
Mm-hmm. So you work well together, obviously.
I think it was good, yeah.
Do people bother you with those sibling rivalry questions?
Every day.
Why do you think they ask those questions? Well, I know they ask me about a sibling rivalry with my brother, I don't get what they get out of it.
I don't get what they get out of it either, other than I think there's kind of this wish that there'll be something anecdotal that'll be fun to, to talk about, whatever, we beat the crap out of each other or something. I think also, those are the things that it's along the same lines of, people constantly asking me how I'm still married, and there's a lot of people that have been married a long time, but in terms of what we focus on are negative stuff often, relationships breaking up. And so that's why people focus on brother bands fighting. It's fun. It's interesting. It's better than getting along.
Well, the first song you played had a number in it, 36 cents. The second one is going to also have a number in it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, this is called 493 or 493 Miles. I don't know if we've actually decided what the title is, but we call it 493. It's kind of a empty nest song, as I said, co-written by the boys in the band.
And closes her eyes as I reach out and turn down the noise. Through broken sunglasses, the cactus fly past us. Does she drink long ago, boys? Just then it hits me that she's still a mystery. We've never been down this highway before. I don't know why skies rumble or tumbleweeds tumble. There's one thing that I know for sure. 493 miles. There's only two people left in this world. For the next 493 miles. Just me and that girl. Just me and that girl. And roadside attractions and time and distance can never erase. Her breath like a sweet core, feet on my dashboard.
The Bacon Brothers Band, 493, four miles. Can I say miles?
You can say miles, sure.
You know, we've been, we really stretch it a bit, inviting you on today because we've been devoting all, the, well, we're devoting 10 weeks to talking about food. But I was thinking about you as a band and food when you're on the road. There was some years back, there was a book published called Jazz Cooks, in which jazz musicians were asked if they cooked on the road. And almost all of them said that they did because they just couldn't stand what was available in some of the towns that they played in. You're nodding your head, Gavin. The same true here?
Do you? Well, we don't cook, but...
But you're a cooking band.
But I can say that... well, thank you. I could say that food is, like, an incredibly important... It's like we played a lot of shows over the last, you know, whatever, 17 years, and sometimes we'll forget the gig, and then someone will say... Oh, no, you remember, that's the place that had the good sushi restaurant. You know, it's like that's how we remember locations a lot of times.
But unlike Van Halen, you don't ask the management to remove all the brown M&Ms?
No, we haven't done that, but we do have a rider, and things end up on the rider, and we're not quite sure why they're there sometimes. But they're left over from, you know, many years.
Do you like to cook?
Yeah.
But that's when you're at home.
Yeah. I mean...
I don't like to cook.
Yeah,
Michael. My wife is an amazing cook, so I leave it to her. But I do make the greatest Caesar salad in the world, so just wanted to point that out.
Now, Kevin, whenever your name comes up, of course, people talk about the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Mm-hmm. You've taken that and actually created an organization using the name?
I did, yeah. 6degrees.org is probably about 5 years old now, something like that. It was, you know, I was kind of inspired by Paul Newman, you know, open up the refrigerator and looking at tomato sauce and seeing Paul's face there. And I was a big fan of his and a big fan of what he did with, like, you know, kind of a genius sort of marketing idea. And I was thinking of, you know, what I really had that would, you know, kind of work. And the Footloose Foundation just didn't really sound that great. And so I came up with 6degrees.org, and we, you know, have been doing it for a few years.
And what do you do?
It's a kind of a place where if you read about anything in the paper or you have something that affects you in a personal way and you feel like you want to donate or volunteer, we are a portal, an online portal to doing good, basically.
And you referred earlier to what you're doing on TV, the thrill of the following.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like working on a TV show like that, having worked in film for so long?
Well, I'll tell you, it's the pace is really hard, and but one of the great things is that the thing that I like doing the most is acting. I like the time between action and cut. That's like a great place for me to be, and I don't get a chance to do that as much as I would like to because there's a lot of other stuff that. You know, a lot of time that it takes to get to those moments, and it takes a long time in a film. And the fact that we do 43 minutes in like 8 or 9 days, and a film you maybe do, you know, 2 hours in 8 or 9 months, it forces us to really work at this like breakneck pace. But the good part of that is that I get to spend a lot of my day acting.
Now, do you see performing with a musical group as an aspect of acting?
I think that performing is performing. I think that it's different in that when I'm acting, even though I'm using a lot of who I am and a lot of my own emotional experiences, et cetera, I really am being another person, and I'm doing somebody else's lines, and I'm wearing a costume. And in performing with the band, all that kind of slips away. You know, these are our tunes, and they're based on our experiences. And
but that would almost be like being in a film that you're also directing.
Maybe, except still, you'd still be playing another part. You'd still be walking in somebody else's shoes.
Michael, what other projects are you working on now?
Well, I'm just finishing up a show about the Morgenthau dynasty. Robert Morgenthau was the district attorney of New York, and also his father and his grandfather were both well-known public servants, one of them with Woodrow Wilson and one of them with... FDR, and it's kind of a story. You know, we know a lot about the Kennedys, but in a lot of ways, the Morgenthaus parallel that, and it's a two-hour public television show.
And when you're doing something like that, do you, I mean, you have to think about the subject. You just can't write wonderful music. you actually have to think, what is the musical clue to the Morgenthaus?
Yeah, exactly. When I think about it, I try to think of about a 3-minute overture that will encompass all the places the film will probably go, and hopefully the director thinks, you know, that's the right kind of sound, but at least I've written something that the director can respond to and tell me if I'm on the wrong road or not. So, you know, it's very collaborative, and a lot of, you know, change this, change that, a lot of things changing at the last minute.
We're going to go out with a song called Don't Lose Me Boy from your album Philadelphia Road, the best of the Bacon Brothers, just released. There'll also be a concert on May 3rd at Town Hall. And my great thanks to the Bacon Brothers Band for being on our show today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. This is actually called Grace, but I don't.
Oh, is it
if
Grace?
We played, I don't think we could get through Don't Lose Me Boy.
No. We have a recording. I think we're just going to play the record.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I see. Ah, okay.
Okay, if you want to play Grace, you could do that too.
Oh, I get it. Okay, great. Oh, there it is.
Well, you see, you'll climb the highest mountain in the whole damn world. I think you will. Yes, I'm sure you will. But you may need some guy you know down at base camp far below. I could help a lot.